Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasts.
So we are back once again for another after show from this week's Famous Last Words. And this one is one of my favorites. The amazing Isadora Duncan.
Why is it one of your favorites?
I just think, well, one, I find her fascinating.
Okay, fair.
And two, I just think there's something about her story is very tragic, as many of them are, but right. She also did a lot of really incredible things. And also, I think her last words are very fitting and could either have been said with joy or said with anticipation that she knew something was going to happen. And I like to think that there's a possibility of both.
So there is a rumor or a story that that might not have been her last words.
Well, now we got to do a whole new show.
No, no, no. But wait. Well, here's the thing. Everyone takes it that is what it is. That is what, and I can't remember her friend's name, Presta Sturges' mom, which is the wrong way to refer to her. But
I know, but
that's all I got. Supposedly, and I don't know how much of this is conjecture and how much of this is fact, supposedly, because they were the only two people there to witness it.
Right.
Supposedly,
allegedly,
Isadora Duncan said something to her friend. She did say, "Farewell, my friends, I'm off to glory." Okay. It was one of her last words.
Okay.
But she might have also said something or phrased something or included a look that communicated to Preston Sturges and his mother that she was going to go hook up with the driver of the car.
Well, I like that, but...
Right. Like, it's either way you slice the
Well, and
pie.
Is that her off to glory?
I don't know. I didn't see a picture of the driver.
But see, that also means like a whole, like that also adds to, again, either it was fun, something very fun and jovial, or she had some anticipation that this was it. And I don't know why. I just like to kind of think that either could be true. Well, I just think they're fitting and I think they're, I don't know, I think they're good ones.
They are. And it's interesting because I, went and found a few other tragic ballerinas because I feel like this episode is nothing but tragic dancers.
Yes.
Because like she was so good at one thing and so much of the rest of her life didn't work out the right way.
I know. And she tried a lot of different ways to make it work. And
like just begging a dude to impregnate you just doesn't.
I know. It's
just
not
like
sexy.
You're begging for love in so many ways.
And I feel like she didn't need to. Well, she didn't need to beg for a romp, I'm sure.
No, right.
But it's just not... And what was she going to do with all those kids?
Well, and then the posse that she adopted of her
acolytes. I know.
Acolytes.
Why am I blank? I literally just listened to this again this morning, and I blanked on the name of what they were called.
The Isadorables.
Isadorables, thank you. Which is a great name, by the way.
Great name.
I mean, that trumps Swifties, that trumps...
Oh, yeah.
So many.
Heads,
Yes.
Any
I
of
love
the heads.
It.
Yeah.
Any of the heads.
Dylan fans are apparently called Bobcats, which I cannot stand.
No, that's terrible.
I think it's the dumbest.
No, that's not. No.
But Isadorables is number one with the bullet.
It's, I mean, fantastic. But yeah, that was terrible too, because then she adopts them and then they turn on her allegedly.
They go and screw her. Right.
Right.
There's something tragic about so many dancers and ballerinas. And I think part of it is the thing with actors that I a few times I've sat in on auditions for commercials and stuff. And like when I was doing student films, it was a different thing. But like for commercials, there's something that feels so incredibly sad about the whole process.
Of course.
Because these actors leave the room and then you hear what the people casting the thing say, and it is absolutely nothing about their performance.
Right.
It is all about how do they look? How would they play opposite this person? And if I, as an actor, knew all of the reasons I didn't get a job because of the number of things that you have zero control over, I would be devastated. And so in that regard, it sort of makes sense that some of these people and dancing the same thing, if not worse.
Right.
If a chorus line taught us nothing.
I mean, it taught us a lot.
It did. Yes. Dance tens.
Looks three.
Yeah. But.
But everything is beautiful at the ballet.
This is true, but. I remember my mother combing my hair. What was it? Trying to get out of the car. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, hopefully people are
dance for grandma, dance for grandma. It really has great lyrics. I mean, yes. I have some PTSD from that soundtrack from over-listen over in my family.
You don't say.
Yeah, but it is really a great show and great soundtrack.
Did you see the documentary?
I haven't watched the documentary. I need to.
I'm saying it's amazing, not just because a friend of mine edited it, but it is so good.
Okay, I'll watch.
And the way it does the parallel story of Michael Bennett and the writing of it and all of that, then with the revival cast, and it's wonderful.
Okay, I'll check it out. It's a singular sensation.
This is what I've been told.
I know. But also I feel, to go back to the dancers and themselves, you know, ballet, much like opera, it's a pretty downer art form. You already have a lot of your own depression or sadness or melancholy, it's going to accentuate it.
Yes, very much so.
Even when you're super successful. And
yeah.
And Isadora is interesting. She's been popping up everywhere to me lately. Like when I was in New York in May, she was, her dress and shoes are at the New York Public Library in that beautiful little museum they have there. Mm-hmm. And then she was featured as one of the first divas in the Diva exhibit.
I think that works.
It does. It works. But she's significant.
Yes. And it's interesting for dancers and choreographers. I don't know how many female choreographers there were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's pretty much accepted that like a good number of the best choreographers in the world are women.
Of course.
I get the feeling not so much then.
Yeah, not so much then. Mm. And I also like that she pushed the envelope with what dance was and mixed it up. So
the more modernistic.
Right. So that's why I like hers. I just think she's a very interesting, multi-layered person that I think a lot of people are familiar with.
Yes.
But don't know anything about.
Yes. And so I found I'm going to say 2.5 because I found this story, just the headline made me be like, this is interesting. It's apparently was a documentary on CNN, but the headline is She Danced for Dr. Mangala. Now, come on.
I mean,
a 16-year-old ballerina who celebrated her 17th birthday in Auschwitz. So,
oh.
But she's still alive, or was when this film came out, which is impressive. 2015, she was 87.
Oh, well, she could
very, very possible.
I mean, a lot of I do feel if you survive Auschwitz, you live a long time as a general rule.
Your body and you have learned a few things.
You know
whether
how to
or not
survive.
You wanted to, yes.
Right.
But she was brought by Dr. Mangala. I mean, all of this is terrible. but basically, I'm just gonna skip all the incredibly sad and terrible parts. But apparently he came to the barracks and decided he wanted to be entertained. Which apparently you can do that if you're a monster.
Apparently. I mean.
So she volunteered. Danced to the Blue Danube. And he gave her an extra ration of bread. So
real I mean, that's a win.
Yeah. But there's another World War II one that I guess we should talk about now because I'm so fascinated by this story. I believe it's pronounced Franceza Mann.
Okay.
Jewish Polish ballerina. I think that's how you say it.
Yep.
her story gets a little complicated because she might have, pre being sent to Auschwitz, turned in some other folks to not get. So, but gotcha. There's nothing proven, right. But there are allegations. Yeah. The reason I included it because there was some one place that studied all of this stuff said so much of it was unclear that they were hard pressed to say definitively she conspired with the Nazis until they decided to stop.
Gotcha.
They also say this is unverified. Again, you want it to be true. So she was a Polish ballerina dancing in Warsaw, considered one of the most promising dancers of her generation in Poland in both classical and modern repertoire. So same era as Isadora Duncan. Mm-hmm. So she was sent to Auschwitz October 23rd, 1943. And so they, like all the other, or a lot of the other slaves, I guess is the term we're using now.
Yeah.
We keep going over this, but.
I know, but.
We're told they needed to be disinfected. And she kind of got a gist of what might be going on. So instead of just undressing and getting ready to go in for the shower, she performed what is usually termed as a striptease, but undressed more salaciously.
Yes.
With the intention to get the guard's attention.
Of course.
And the story goes, once she was nude except for her high heels,
yes,
took one of her shoes and stabbed Walter Quackernack, who was a guard, in the face with her heel, causing him to awesome. Drop his firearm.
That's amazing.
She then uses to shoot two other guards, one who later died from wounds, the other one had a permanent limp. She was eventually shortly thereafter murdered, but
understandably. But
when you go to that sort of Queens of Badassery.
Yeah, that's
right. Nude in high heels with a machine gun is pretty, no notes.
That's pretty fantastic. And that needs to be conveyed somewhere in film.
Yes, I wish someone had written it into a TV pilot, for example.
Yes.
It would be a great place for it.
It would be a great place for it.
But again, there's some question of all of it. But that's the best, terrible tragic story.
Go out swinging, basically.
Yeah, best served cold.
Oof.
The other one I found less upbeat is Emma Livry, Livry, who her photo, she kind of looks like an Edward Gorey character.
Oh, okay.
Good or bad, you decide. Depends on your thing.
It's all,
She was one of the last ballerinas of the Romantic era, Romantic ballet era,
mm-hmm.
and a protege of Marie Taglioni.
Okay. I love all these difficult names.
And I just keep walking right into it being like, I need to tell you this. Like if I said, didn't say Taglioni, you'd be like, wait, who was her instructor?
Right.
I might,
just to challenge you.
Yes. So, she, November 15th, 1864, was rehearsing the title role of Fenella, a mime in a opera I am not going to pronounce. Entering in the second act, shook out her skirts, which caught fire in the gaslight.
Jeez.
Yeah. So apparently there was a method of fireproofing costumes, but a lot of female dancers didn't do it because it stiffened the fabrics and discolored them. In flames, she ran across the stage three times before she was caught, and firemen and other folks extinguished her.
This is horrible.
Her burns were more extensive than deep. She clasped the burning fabric to her torso out of modesty. Face and breasts undamaged, so
that goes in the good column. Yeah.
Back column, waist, thigh, back, shoulders, arms are burned.
That's not great for ballerina.
Yeah. So one of the her Taglioni, her mentor, rubbed makeup grease into the wounds, thinking it would act as an ointment.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a great idea.
So she lived for a few months, yet remained opposed to fireproof skirts.
Well, I mean, fashion over function. I do stand by that.
Well, she did say, yes, they are, as you say, less dangerous. But should I ever return to the stage, I would never think of wearing them. They are so ugly.
See? I like this lady. That's kind of a little upbeat spin on it all.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
In 1863, when was that? So that was, yeah, the next year. Moved out of Paris to a home someplace else. Her wounds reopened and she died. She was only 20 years old. She was buried in the cemetery in Montmartre.
Ah. And she got a good place to end up.
Yeah. And the surviving scraps of her costume are in the Opera Museum in Paris.
Wow.
So with those good feelings in the air, this holiday season for you and yours.
Why did you ruin this one for me?
And probably what's the only time this sentence is going to be said. I thought I would end it on an up note with Auschwitz, and I just didn't work out that way.
It really didn't.
You really wish we were talking about Francesca Mann right now, don't you?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
But
all very interesting stories. And
yes.
In keeping with the theme.
Yes. And I think I do love that. I mean, you want to talk about divas in ballet and artistry. You ain't flameproof in this. It ugly is pretty.
It's fantastic. I mean, that no is notes. Fantastic. I sort of, maybe we should have ended there, even though we knew she'd passed.
Right. Yes.
Our clothes maybe should have been there. We'll work on this.
Yeah.
For our listeners.
By the time we get to season four,
we'll be great. We will know the like that killer last line.
Right. So I guess if you listen to this and aren't familiar with ballet, it sounds like a pretty deadly art form.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, even just the brutality on their bodies, even if they don't have a tragic demise.
True, and we haven't even gotten to the dying swan.
I mean, the dying swan. But it's Nutcracker season. Nobody dies in the Nutcracker, so...
Really? Somebody must trip.
Well, yeah, the Rat King? Do they kill the Rat King?
They might. Yeah, something might, like
but
that.
But it's a rat.
Yeah.
But this all is what we have for you. Sugar plums and tin soldiers and...
Dead rats. Happy holidays to you and yours.
I mean, see? But we turned it around.
So, I mean, when you've reached these highs, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
I don't know. Do we go with our, is it Polish actress, I believe? We could do that one. We've got, I love that people are just listening to us debate things. They have zero idea what we're talking about.
I know. That's all of our shows, let's be honest.
Yeah. Maybe we save your favorite to end with that. Because that's an upbeat, happy...
It is, but I also feel like the Polish actress might be a little too close to Isadora in some ways.
Mm. Okay, well, we could go to Ludwig von.
Oh, well, but he's... Well, we've got a lot of...
Well, so we've got one, two, three, we've got four left.
Yes.
Let me propose this one.
Okay.
Ludwig, next week.
Yes.
Maybe... is it Circa? Sika?
Yeah. It's a
her the following week. And then we could do CJ Walker and then Sally Bassett, or flip those two.
Either, or do we one.
Like kind of end on an up note of.
Well, who's Christmas week? Is that the third one?
So we've got four left. I got to do the calendar. So yeah, the 27th would be the last one. So
Maybe we do. I think either one. I think we're doing those either way are good.
Yeah.
Because it's either leading up to Christmas or leading into a new year.
Right. And both of them are positive and
Right. As po right. I mean, there's still a lot of tragedy and heartbreak. It's not a laugh riot.
no.
But there's
But
also
you're not listening
very.
to the show for just like, I
No.
want to feel good.
You're not.
No.
But these do have a lot of optimism and a lot of badassery.
Inspiration, badassery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody's
Those were.
naked in high heels,
No.
but they're both good ones.
But we could
So,
rewrite them and make that part of the
no, we'll
thing.
find some other. We could do a whole season of Naked in High Heels if you want to
My
do your whole
God, that's.
thematic season.
Yeah, that would be.
We're not doing a thematic season, though. Don't worry.
No, that would be our other podcast.
Right.
Naked in High Heels.
That's probably the story of
No,
my, that's probably my autobiography.
podcast. So, thank you for listening.
Yes,
We're sorry for bringing
always.
you down.
No, but we tried to bring you back
Always.
up.
We tried.
Go watch The Nutcracker. Go watch Chorus Line. Watch the Chorus Line documentary.
Watch every little step. And yeah, check out the Sylvester Stallone documentary.
And the Albert Brooks documentary.
Yeah, I haven't seen the one about him re-editing Rocky IV.
I
It's
haven't
supposed to be
either.
fascinating.
Probably is. I'll have to check that one out.
Because I think it's like self-shot or something. There's something weird about it where it's very indie. And yeah, go watch some ballet. Watch Black Swan, because that's a
Oh,
feel-good
that's
movie.
totally a feel-good movie.
Gather the family around the hearth and home and watch Black
Yes.
Swan tonight.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to Creepy Tapas,
where we do the opposite of deep dives and bring you tiny tastes of terror connected by a common ingredient.
True stories to haunt and chill you and the pop culture they inspired.
Or at least the movies and books that remind us of them.
Join us as we descend into darkness,
beginning with the lighter side of our weekly topic
and wrapping with a full dark, no stars account of terror, madness, murder, and more. It's Creepy Tapas, y'all.